She's worked in public health for 25 years with Cook County Department of Public Health and has had many positions, including health educator to regional health officer. Most recently, she's become the agency's accreditation coordinator, and she has an MPH from the University of Illinois School of Public Health, and has served also in leadership positions with the Illinois Public Health Association. So we welcome Valerie to talk to us a little bit about implementing community health public improvement plans.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming here today. So I get a sense of our audience here, how many of you work for a governmental health entity? Oh, most of you. And how many of you are in the process or have completed at least once a community health improvement plan, a community health assessment? And how many of you are just beginning that process? Okay, so you're here to learn. Well, I hope we can help with that. So first, I have no relationships to disclose. And I would like to thank my co-authors, Steve Severin. Dr. Steve Severin was unable to be here today, but we are fortunate to have the brilliance of Dr. Christina Welter, who was the vision and the planning for the health improvement plan. And Dr. Sandra Martell is also in the audience. Dr. Martell is the Chief Operating Officer for the Cook County Department of Public Health, and I am grateful to her for her commitment and her leadership to make this happen, our health improvement plan, our strategic plan, and our plans for accreditation. And also, I want to acknowledge the health improvement leadership and the work teams, and I'll tell you about them. So current research and practice standards support the considerable importance that's been placed on community participation in developing and implementing successful population health improvement plans. But equally critical and yet less recognized factors affecting success include the organizational dynamics and capacity of the local health department to meet the demands of implementing plans, requiring increased collaboration both within the community and within the local health department. This presentation will describe the current Community Health Improvement Plan, or CHIP, process within the Cook County Department of Public Health, with attention to the internal challenges and dynamics that we experienced in implementing our health improvement plan. So how do we motivate and educate staff to implement a broad health plan? How do we prepare staff to bridge the transition to a dual role that includes traditional, categorical, and clinical services and more broad-based health promotion activities? So these are a few issues that challenge our agency, and I'll share with you some of our experience and our lessons learned. But let's keep everything in perspective. There's nothing more important to us as governmental public health staff than the well-being of our citizens. If through the community assessment process we've identified priority improvement areas, then nothing should get in the way of the improvement process. All staff want improvement, but the reality is that our field is changing, resources are dwindling, and demands are ever present. Changing the way our health department does business has been our motto this past year. We believe that we will not succeed with our health improvement plan if we don't change the way we do things. You can't keep the same structure and expect greater improvement. So this is a chance I get to tell you a little about our jurisdiction. So the Cook County Department of Public Health is a state-certified local health department in Illinois. Our jurisdiction is the suburban Cook County. That's outside the city of Chicago. The geopolitical landscape of suburban Cook County is terribly complex. There are 125 cities, towns, and villages within suburban Cook, some of which are very large with populations over 50,000 and others with less than 500 residents. These communities include some of the wealthiest with median incomes of over 250,000 to some of the poorest with median incomes less than 20,000. So overlaid on this are 30 townships, which have their own local boards, and they provide some community services. Our health department also has jurisdiction over numerous small unincorporated areas throughout the region. In addition, we're not the only health department in suburban Cook County. Four other municipal health departments exist. Though they're much smaller, each is equal in authority in the eyes of the state health department, and each conducts its own CHIP and its own assessment process every 5 years, assessing their own public health system. So besides the complexity of the government systems, there's numerous large organizational systems. For instance, the Cook County Health Department is part of the Cook County Health and Hospital System. It's the third largest public health care system in the country. CCHHS manages four hospitals, and you probably recognize Cook County Hospital, which is now called Stroger Hospital, and numerous community clinics. However, the majority of these services aren't within our health department's jurisdiction. They're in the city of Chicago. And there are 23 acute care hospitals just within suburban Cook County, and over 700 schools organized into 130 school districts, each essentially autonomous. And alongside all of this, there are a host of other local community service agencies and organizations. So we have had a long history of conducting health assessments and planning processes. Since 1994, our state health department requires that every certified local health department conduct a community-based assessment and plan, and they call that the Illinois Project for Local Assessment of Needs, or IPLAN. And it's based on the APEX-PH model, for those of you who are familiar with that. In 2005, and again in 2010, our health department used the MAP process, which has been mentioned before here today, mobilizing action through planning and partnerships. And we called our process WePlan. So the latest iteration of WePlan, which is called WePlan 2015, our health department developed a planning team and identified some key principles to guide the process and address some of the challenges of the previous process. In our research of others who've used MAP, implementation was often an afterthought. Even the MAP documentation is less specific about the approaches to implementation. And also in Illinois, with little funding for implementation and unfortunately no agency alignment of resources, past processes have resulted in plans, I'm sure that many of you know, that remain on the shelf and accomplish less than they proposed. So our approach was to begin with a conceptual model that incorporated the components of MAP and were organized to address three required IPLAN health priority issues. Our implementation model focused on forming cross-disciplinary teams, both internal and external to the health department, promoting a system approach to the health issue, and centered on the 10 essential services, allowing for some common approaches across priorities and across teams. And between teams. We found, as I'm sure others of you have experienced, the public health system did not have a common understanding of the role of the local health department. And this included our own managers and staff. The traditional view of the health department persisted, including outbreak investigation, environmental inspection, health education, and safety net clinical services. But as the scope of public health widens, the scope of the solutions widens. As our medical director likes to say, everything is public health. The shift from traditional infectious disease outbreaks and maternal and child health programs to preparedness, chronic disease, and violence results in the needs to focus more broadly. There's not a simple medical approach to these problems, and the solutions involve changing societal factors, including those that relate to economy, housing, and employment, requiring complex system approaches. And finally, as public health shifts from being seen and providing direct service to a focus on improving health using policy and systems change, this impacts the role of the local health department from provider to convener, coordinator, and collaborator. However, others in the public health system continue to see the local health department in a more traditional role. So overcoming and communicating and demonstrating this change is part of our challenge. So a key success for us in this latest process was strategic alignment. Previously, the WPRAM priorities had been seen as part of a state-mandated requirement and something that was not fully aligned with CCDPH's departmental priorities or financially resourced. This time, the plan was adopted in its entirety as one of the four priority goals within the agency's strategic plan. The implementation of this plan has become the responsibility of the agency leadership. This is a shift from the past when leadership responsibility for implementation was assigned primarily to one of the units. So the agency made a commitment in our strategic plan to achieve voluntary FAB accreditation. The WPLAN health priorities, strategies, and action plans are organized in alignment with the accreditation domains. So at the same time we're preparing for FAB accreditation, we are also implementing the Community Health Improvement Plan and the agency's strategic plan. So many of you probably experienced the planning naysayers, such as represented here in this poster, which reads, "We have a strategic plan. It's called doing things." But then there's the opposite end of the spectrum, where planners say, "A vision without an action is a daydream, but action without vision is a nightmare." So it's clear from our efforts with our community health assessment and our health improvement plan that we need to find the balance in both. And putting plans into action is really an art. So here are our recommendations. Plan for implementation in advance, create the organizational structure, and build the team. So planning for implementation in advance while writing the strategic plan and the community health improvement plan, and even while you're doing the community health assessment, you need to consider implementation. Build on your current health department activities and successes. And if you haven't done this, you need to start. Much of the work of our health improvement plan and success was built on our current activities and our successes. Align your resources to priority health issues as early as possible. So ways you can do this are create or adapt positions that focus on the major health issues, and then include the skills that are needed to conduct that collaborative work that's going to be necessary. Apply for funding that's in line with your vision and your plan, not that gets the local health department more money. We created positions and we wrote job descriptions in a way that promoted community-based work. Second, successful implementation, and we've heard this also already, means that you have clear roles and you have clear responsibilities and you have clear structures for reporting the work and making the decisions. So a new organizational structure was needed for us to implement our health improvement plan. And so it was developed that moved the leadership of the health improvement plan, the implementation of the health improvement plan, to the executive team. And in the spirit of strategic alignment, the quality improvement team, as well as the FAB accreditation team, were both coordinated and monitored, and most of the time were the same people, through the executive team. So a Goal 2 leadership team, which responds to our Goal 2 in our strategic plan, was assembled, whose purpose is to provide project management, including monitoring progress towards our objectives, and providing strategy and support to each of the health issue teams. Goal 2 leadership team promotes the coordination between the health issue work groups and the objectives. The leadership team consists of representatives of the executive team and cross-disciplinary program managers. They meet biweekly to review progress on action plans and strategic planning goals, including the communication of action plans to both internal and external audiences. They discuss cross-cutting issues where there's possible collaboration opportunities, and they conduct training sessions to bring their competencies up to speed, including evidence-based research and developing logic models. And then there are the work groups that are organized around the health issues that were prioritized, including improving access to primary care, preventing cardiovascular disease, preventing youth violence, and reducing youth STIs. And they're responsible for meeting the strategic plan objectives and action steps, meet the deadlines, ensure plans address the FAB domains, develop measurable plans for defining and demonstrating success, and develop those action plans that are evidence-based, and identify academic partners. So the work groups are cross-disciplinary primary units. In our health department, that includes nursing, prevention services, environmental health, and communicable disease members. And they include about 15 members for each of the team, or approximately 10% of our program staff are working directly on the implementation. And the individual health issue teams are meeting monthly. They have identified subgroups to get their work done. And then the whole improvement plan participants for our health department, about 60 of them, meet twice during the year and for a review and reporting of plans in progress. And lastly, the recommendation is to build the team. Our teams are made up of multiple disciplines and different levels of staff, and many of them had never worked together, and they had very different skills. So by building cross-disciplinary teams, we're increasing internal coordination, and we're breaking down traditional silos. We identified leaders of these teams, however, who have some strong planning and group process skills, and we found that to be important. Be sure to provide adequate training for the teams to function optimally. Bringing multiple disciplines to work on those health priorities actually quickly identify your needed areas of competency building. So while the soft stuff of working with people may seem time-consuming, and for many, less important, without that solid team that trusts one another, your work is going to fall apart. So the benefits of the process. Definitely having staff involvement across disciplines has been a benefit of our process. That approach has helped break down capacity silos so that staff with little experience in health promotion and community work now were confronted with the need to do this. And so there was some uncertainty and there is a learning curve. The process is building, however, respect and appreciation of our coworkers, especially as they discover each other's strengths. A survey of participants at the one-year mark showed that 90% of those who were working on the process were overwhelmingly rated their overall experience with the health improvement process as good to excellent. Teamwork, collaboration, and the satisfaction of working with other disciplines were considered the most positive elements. So coordination efforts have emerged among the health issue teams that broaden our impact with the community. And a couple examples of that are access to care teams working with our chronic disease team to reach and refer residents with cardiovascular risk factors and refer them to a primary care provider. And other efforts, another one is the access to care team is working with the STI team to identify adolescent-friendly providers for teens. Some of our challenges. Well, the new organizational structure to implement this process was not familiar, and it was not part of the organizational culture. We experienced tension between the old and existing structures and the new structure, and it's been necessary to address those internal challenges. We had the benefit of leadership support from the beginning, but the process, as was mentioned, called for the cross-disciplinary approaches, movement towards system and policy change, and taking employees out of their normal categorical work environments. And also with little more than 10% of the program staff involved in the implementation, there were questions and issues that surfaced from the non-involved staff around the utility and the sustainability of the work. So participants are most concerned about the time away from their regular work. Enough time to devote to the process and balancing time for this effort and their job requirements. But a key here is transforming the understanding of this work as their regular work and not something extra. This work is their regular job. This process is how we begin to change our health department by changing the way we work to better accomplish our goals. Our challenge for us was not clearly defining the roles and responsibilities and aligning our staff strengths with functions on the team. We also faced the reality that there was limited staff with the skill sets needed for the new work, as was staff time, since job responsibilities still existed. So the challenges reinforced the need to provide clarity and purpose that's echoed by all involved staff, constant support from leadership, and the gift of time to adjust to the new organizational culture. By involving staff from all levels and disciplines, staff is empowered, which leads to a cultural shift. So our future focus. Well, based on the accreditation process and our implementation of the Community Health Improvement Plan, we are focusing on quality improvement. The transformational change that's occurring at our health department is nothing less than a rethinking of how our agency is organized for the purpose of achieving improvements in quality. This process is leading us, albeit in small steps because of limited resources, which is less about money and more about staff capacity building, to a new way of working with the community. The specific health issue work plans are developing through a QI process and specific performance measures. Training of QI and evaluation methods is critical, and it's built into the cross-disciplinary teams as well as FAB's workforce development plan. Second, keeping everyone informed, that's all staff, is critical to a smoother transition from planning to action. Some of the basics include keeping the work plans updated and utilized, conducting regular meetings and regular communications and minutes, report regularly on progress, celebrate successes, acknowledge participants' contributions, and learn from setbacks. Reinforcing the new norm will be communicated through several channels this year. For instance, the agency's annual report, through an annual progress update presented to staff and the governing board, and through newsletter communications to all staff on the progress of the health issue teams. So another focus for us, and this is really important, is alignment with the FAB standards, and I'll give you a few examples. The required workforce development plan will assess workforce competencies around the health priorities and develop a staff training plan to support competencies needed to implement the health priority action plans. We're developing a performance management plan so that we can monitor achievement of the strategic plan objectives. Teams will receive technical assistance from internal and external QI experts to help incorporate performance management. And we are increasing community engagement by building, and in some cases expanding, partnerships through external coalitions and collaboratives that are focused on the strategic health issues. So this presentation described the implementation and design issues identified from our experience organizing for action. And we suggested some recommendations from a local health department's perspective that will assist other local health departments to implement their plans as they prepare for both a community health assessment, a community health improvement plan, and for voluntary public health accreditation. Thank you very much.